too close together.
Amen, brother. Brother Garth, one of these days I'm going to get one over on you, and when I do, I'm just going to give up and die right there. The thing with Brother Garth is you just can't get nothing on him. He's always ready. It's like he foresees what you're going to say. I tell you something else, too. He's a sweet little old man. I love Garth. I wouldn't trade nothing for him at all. Sister Dreama might, but I wouldn't. If you would, open your Bibles up. We're going to look at two passages, and then we're just going to spend the rest of the, well, not the rest of the afternoon, the rest of the time allotted looking into them and discussing them. If you would, open your Bibles to Matthew 6, Matthew chapter 6, and we will look at verses 9 through 13. And you don't have to turn there yet, but then we're going to turn to Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. The first one, Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. It says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Then if you would turn to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. We'll look at verses 1 through 4. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Let's pray. And Father, we just thank you so very much for this morning. And Father, I ask again this afternoon that you'd keep me glued together and help me to help these people, Father, whether it's to educate them or encourage them or whatever they need, Father, please use me to fulfill that need this afternoon. And Father, we pray a blessing on our pastor. We ask as he comes home tonight that you'd give him traveling mercy, and we ask that you should go with him through the remainder of the day also. And Father, we just thank you for these things. And once again, Father, I just ask that you keep me glued together and on point. And I ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen. Now, I'm going to turn back to Matthew. That's where I'm going to spend most of my time. But people want to call this the Lord's Prayer. And that's when the little Price is Right buzzer goes off. This isn't the Lord's Prayer. This is a model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John. Okay. This is not the Lord's Prayer. Jesus was not praying. He was teaching the disciples and eventually us how to pray. It is a model prayer, a prayer from which we should base our prayers. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying when a tree is about to fall on your head as you're walking down the sidewalk that you recite this thing. Okay? Lord, help is sufficient. But even today, there is great confusion about prayer. And if you think there isn't, I'm an avowed Catholic basher at this point in my life. Look at what the Catholics do. They'll ask Jesus, Joseph, Mary, they'll pray to anybody, Saint so-and-so, please take this message to God. No, that's not what Christ said to do. And let's look at the first bit of this. Our Father which art in heaven. You're not praying to Allah, and I know that sounds ridiculous, but think about what I'm saying. To the people that want to be, what is the word I'm looking for? Agnostic. You can't know God. You can maybe talk to God and pray to God, but you can't really know Him. There's only one God, and His name is not Allah or Buddha or Confucius or Shiva or anything else. Our Father, which art in heaven. There is an acknowledgement of who He is, spiritually what He is, and where he is. Again, that sounds like one of those duh things. But again, I point you to the Catholic Church. Hail Mary, Mother full of grace. And I can't repeat the whole thing, but they're little when they do their rosary. The empty ceremony. And think about it. This is a model of how we should pray. Implied in that model is actual communication with God. You're not addressing the wall. You're not addressing thin air. You are addressing the Creator of the universe, your spiritual Father. There's a very great difference from praying, between praying to God and empty recitation. Okay? I can't think of the movie, but there was a little evil. We pick at Sister Elaine all the time, going om nom shabai, the little dude. I can't remember the movie. It was something stupid. But anyhow, you know, you've seen people, they'll sit and they'll rock backwards and forwards and they'll do all that weird stuff, and they're supposed to be worshiping their God and communicating with them. The Muslims pray to Mecca, I think it's 3 times a day, 4 times a day, something ridiculous. They got to be pointed towards Mecca or it doesn't count. I'd like to blindfold one of them, spin them around 4 or 5 times, and then tell them to pray to Mecca. Does it count if they're pointed the wrong direction and they don't know it? I thought it was funny. I'm sorry. That was just horrible. Anyhow, the thing is, all that stuff is empty ceremony. Implicit in this address, Our Father which art in heaven, is a plea to a being that knows you. It's not some empty ceremony to get his attention. You are addressing your Father. Hallowed be thy name. Revered be your name. Wouldn't it be much, much, much better if the world revered God? This mess that we've had thrust on us recently with gay marriage, the mess that you see with the murdering of babies, I mean, I could go on and on and on. If there was a reverence for God, that wouldn't be, would there? And what do we desire? We desire for God's name to be revered, don't we? If you don't, you should. Does it make you cranky whenever someone gets snarky and says something hateful or evil or vile about your Lord? You know, I can't help it whenever somebody starts, when somebody starts disrespecting my Lord and Savior, I start getting cranky. I have a hard time and you shouldn't. I'm not telling you should. I have a hard time not telling people that they're stupid. They don't know what they're messing with. You know, whenever you make fun of God, you would be safer to be playing with live dynamite. We should desire for God's name to be revered. Here's the wonderful thing about that. One day, God's name will be revered by everyone. Holy be your name. Well, Mike, why would you ask about something that is? Yes, but shouldn't you desire that your God be holy, just, and righteous? And isn't that something that God can look at you and say, yes, I am? Isn't it good that God could say, yes, I am? Your petition has been granted. And by the way, what comes across as bragging for you and I is not bragging with God. It's a statement of fact. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to stick my foot in it and get it lopped off. You ever stick your head inside a wood chipper to watch the blades spin? Brother Dave's back here going, not yet. Have you learned by listening, or have you just learned the hard way what happens whenever you aim to do your will instead of God's? What should we desire? If we want something, what should we first seek? I want a lot of things. I'd like to be about 100 pounds lighter without having to put forth the effort and have the growly belly. I want to put it to you all like this. I want God's will in my life. I was talking to Brother Don about this the other day, and he kindly chuckled. He understands. He and I have had a lot of conversations, and there was a point not too terrible long ago whenever he was about the only person I talked to on the phone because I couldn't carry on a conversation. He would literally have to say, Mike, you need to focus. I do not get to preach as much as I want to. I do get to preach as much as I am able. Does that make sense? Turn loose myself, boy, I'd be running everywhere every Sunday. Well, I don't get phone calls and requests every Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something else. If I did, I couldn't. It don't take long for me to fall apart. Rather than say, God, I want to preach every Sunday, I said, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. It's working out great so far. I haven't been railroaded. No tar and feathers have been got out. Nothing. Nobody's got out a rope. You want something in your life. Is it better to say, Lord, I want this? And no, it's when I say this, is it better to say, Lord, I want this and let it go at that? Or is it to say, Lord, I want this. I acknowledge that it is a want. I don't need it. I don't believe. Would you please have your hand on the matter and have what? Your will done. Whose will always bring about the best? Romans say we know that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Thy will be done. God's will in heaven is done implicitly. God's will here, God has a directive will, as in He puts His finger on it and says, that moves. And He has a permissive will. He lets things happen. Okay? In one sense, God's permissive will, things are going exactly the way He had them laid out. However, morally, spiritually, God's moral law is not being followed, is it? It is God's desire, God's will. He has given orders to us, what? To obey His law, right? Think about this. I've heard people say, well, you know, the God I worship, God is love. He would not send anybody to hell. God also commanded everybody to repent. And whenever you don't repent, you just double the damnation that you brought upon yourself. Give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, this is going to hurt. I'm going to stick my hand in that pocket and I keep hitting that microphone or that little recorder. Are you content with what you got? Everybody shake their head, yes. Good boys and girls. Now, are you really content with what you've got? Everybody shake their head, no. Mikey knows. Do you know why? Because if you're really content with everything you had, if I offered you something else, you wouldn't take it. If I walk back here and say, Brother Howard, would you like this here $100 bill? Well, Brother Howard wouldn't take it because he'd know full good and well I copied it off on the printer at home. But you see what I'm saying? What should we desire? What is implicit in this? Give us this day Bread for this day. Lord, supply my needs for this day. Not tomorrow, not the day after tomorrow, not next month, not next year. You're not even guaranteed that. You're here on this earth today for whatever time you're allotted, and you can kick off at any time. It's not hard. Okay, my grandpa got up, ate breakfast, got ready to go to the doctor, walked down the hallway, and never had to go to the doctor. And it wouldn't be that hard for me to drop dead of a stroke right now or a heart attack or any other thing. If God wants me gone, He can find a way. Give us this day our daily bread. Supply my needs, Lord, this day. What does that do? Well, number one, you pray to Him to supply your needs that day. That's pretty much going to ensure that tomorrow you're going to do what? You're going to pray again, ain't you? Do you pray throughout the day? I'd like to tell you that I have a perfect track record. I don't. Sometimes I pray about every little bit throughout the day, and some days I get sidetracked and occupied, and the only thing I can think is, Lord, help me, about time something comes swirling by my head. You know, make the missus mad, a skillet comes by your head. Get good and mad, throw a wrench at something, it bounces off, comes by your head. The missus is giving me a look. I might have to go home with someone else. She's not feeling good today. I'm worried about her. We always, in the back of our minds, greed is one of the hardest things to stomp down, because greed is very, very subtle. What are we supposed to be grateful for? Food to eat, clothes to wear, roof over our heads. Well, what is a roof over your head? The house you live in is a roof over your head, right? Let's just face it, if you look at me in profile, it's certain that I've had more than enough of my daily bread. Probably had somebody else's too. What if you're in someone else's house? Do you still have a roof over your head? Here's something that's going to sting. What if you end up, you lose everything and you're in a shelter someplace? Do you still have a roof over your head? I just ate real good. And I want y'all to look at this tie. You look at this shirt. The Lord performed a miracle. There are no stains. I didn't eat much. What if all that had been down there was old stale crackers? Food to eat, close to where I'm standing up here, all gilded, the lilies all gilded, got my tie on, got my sport jacket on, got my trousers on. I am a pretty feller, ain't I? Pretty-ish. Yeah, my clothes are pretty good looking. The guy inside of them, not so much. Beloved, what if all I had was a pair of ripped up jeans? Maybe an old t-shirt on. Still have clothes to wear, don't I? See what I'm saying? All the stuff that we have that we take for granted as a necessity is a blessing. I mean, I can go outside in the morning. And you've heard the expression, the only difference between men and boys is their age and the size of their toys. I got a nice toy box. A lot of it's rattledy. It's like me, the pins are loose and there's a lot of leaks, but a lot of hot air blows when you start working them. It's all a blessing. I didn't earn it, didn't build it, didn't buy it. It's been given to me. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Implicit in that is the acknowledgement that we forgive whoever it is that gets all over us. How are you about that? There's a little Neanderthal in me. He's not very big, but he is a hateful thing. You know, it's not wrong if you have trouble forgiving people to ask Lord to help you forgive them. It's absolutely not wrong. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in that, there's something else to be said too, and that is implicit that I must forgive the people that have wronged me because I wronged Christ and I was forgiven. I wronged Christ and I am forgiven. I continue to wrong Christ and I am forgiven. How can I sit and hold a grudge against somebody that looked at me funny whenever I have been forgiven for so much? I have dealt with people before. Now, when I say that, and we'll say that, I want to add this little tidbit in there too. The Bible does not say forgive and forget. It says forgive. Okay? What's that mean? That means if the guy comes up and steals from you one time, you don't give him the opportunity to steal from you the second time. But if you see that same feller in need, you help him. Boy, that stings, doesn't it? Trust me, I know. I would encourage you. This is going to sound wrong. I mean it right. I don't know any other way to put it. I would encourage you to just not care what other people think or what other people say. I've said it more than once, and I mean it. The only way you're going to make me mad is to set out to deliberately make me mad. If you're not trying to make me mad, I will not get mad. We've been forgiven for so much. Lead us not into temptation. Now, there's a little thing there. God will not lead you into temptation. You can't tempt God. But let's think about what we're asking there. What's your weakness? I don't need to know it, but what is that little thing that the devil knows just exactly what you want, and it isn't what God wants? What is it? We've all got something. And Brother Garth talked about the one feller, I'm going to get this wrong, but he'd spent most of his money on booze and women and the rest he just wasted. If I get that right, I may have that wrong, but if I've got that correct. You know, is your weakness booze and women? If there's a way into it, there's a way out of it, isn't there? You know, one of the things I found, because I have a habit, I replay things over and over and over and over and over in my noggin. And the more they get replayed, the more they get distorted. Do you know what helps? Thinking about God. What about God? I don't know. Just thinking about God helps. And I don't mean that stupid little bracelet, what would Jesus do? The people that wear those bracelets don't have a clue what Jesus would do. No, what I'm talking about is whenever you are tempted to think ill of someone, think about what Christ did. Whenever you're tempted to be angry with someone, think about, well, you know, and you don't even have to think about, is God angry with them? I mean, think about God. If you're tempted to go into a bar, you know, it's as easy to drive away from one as it is to go in one. Road works two ways. Vehicle drives both directions, doesn't it? I could go on and on and on and on. Deliver us from evil. There is deliverance. Number one, we have been delivered. We are forgiven. But we can be delivered day by day if we simply ask, if we keep our sights on God, if we think about God, if we focus on God. Says a guy that's not above hitting whatever he's working on with a hammer when it makes him mad. But you know, a lot of times when I get extremely frustrated, it's better just to go sit down and say, and be honest, Lord, I am really mad, I am really frustrated, and right now I would really like to light that thing on fire and burn it down. Can you help? Would you help? And if nothing else, the time spent talking to God gives me time to cool off and I go back and tackle whatever it was I was dealing with. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Therein, beloved, lies our hope. You're here today and you're not saved. Hell from beneath is moved to meet thee. If you're here today and you're saved, there is the promise. There is the acknowledgement that His is the kingdom. There is an acknowledgement that all power belongs to Him. And there is an acknowledgement that all creation serves to bring glory to Him and that it's His forever. Not only is there that acknowledgement, that is our desire. It should be your desire. It should be my desire to see that glory. I want to flip over to Luke and I want to just look at that a little bit. In verse 4, forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. There is a statement of forgiveness. Are you able to look at the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not mad at Him? I don't need to know the particulars, but I'm not stupid. Everybody in here has a story, and everybody in here has had someone in your life that's just spent a great part of their life trying to make your life miserable. Have you put it down and walked away from it? You know why you should forgive them? Which is easier? To hold on to it and pet it and love on it, or to let it go? Which is easier, to vow revenge whenever God said, vengeance is mine, or to simply give it to God, let the matter go. Put it down and walk away. That's hard, isn't it? I mean, think about that. And the thing is, I'm not stupid. If you're saved, you've had somebody somewhere that's just had a field day with you. I know. I don't know who it was. I don't know what it was. But I can tell you in my life, if I cared to, I could spit out all kinds of things. There was an episode in my life I don't ever want to go through again. And I've forgiven them, and today, I can honestly say it doesn't bother me. They're in God's hands. Be it for their good or their bad. If they repent, then I have nothing on them. If they don't repent, God's got a hand on the situation, and all I've got to do is sit right there. All these things, beloved, we should strive to ask. We shouldn't just strive to ask for them because it's there. We should strive to ask for them because we want them. In some way, shape, or form, I'm going to ascribe this to Brother Jim Martin. I may be wrong. I can't recall who it was that said it. I think it was him. They made the remark that in every sermon that a preacher brought, it needed to end up at the cross. And like I said, I may have the person that came up with that wrong. And he may have gotten it from someone else. The same thing whenever you pray would apply to this model that we're given. These two models, they're the same piece. We should ask for these things. We should desire these things. We should desire that our baby doll picked up out of the floor and given back to us. I got a laugh out of him, little feller. It's a horrible thing to drop your toy on the floor, isn't it, son? Poor little feller. We should desire these things. There's a peace to be had when you ask for them. There's a peace had whenever you know you're forgiven and you've forgiven other people. There's a peace to be had whenever you know that your needs are going to be met today and tomorrow will be taken care of. A smarmy little bumper sticker I saw a while back, and on one hand I hated it, but on the other hand it was the truth that said, "Hello, this is God, I will be handling all of your problems today." Well, if you're saved, God will be handling all of your problems today. Like I said, it was so one of them sickeningly sweet ones with the little smiles and the hearts and butterflies, and I just wanted to hit it with something. But it was the truth. Do I have enough for tomorrow? I don't have a clue. But I got enough for today. Finally, beloved, you know, and I didn't read that, but the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. And he showed them, this is how you should pray. These are the things you should ask. This is what you should base it on. What else is said about prayer? Pray without ceasing. We have an annoying habit of praying to God when it all goes south and forgetting God when it all goes good. I'll just call it out like I see it. You ever get in the Old Testament and you're reading about the Israelites and you want to go, come on, guys. What are you thinking? Well, are you any different? Am I any different? I'd love to tell you that I am, but I'm not. What do you see in the Old Testament? What was said, Lord, don't give me too much, lest I become spoiled and forget you. Don't give me too little, lest I spite you. Give me just enough. I've had times whenever I didn't know how the bills were going to get paid. God's always paid the bills. I was wasting my time. I've had time when I was worried how this, that, or some other piece of junk was going to be glued together so it would run tomorrow because I had the power bill due, groceries had to be bought, fill in the blank. God's always taking care of it. Brother Howard looked at me one day and he said, why are you worrying? You're supposed to be the preacher. And I said, yeah, because I worry. And he said, well, why? I think his exact words were something along the lines of shut up and grow up or something like that. But, you know, you're right, brother. You can't worry. Who's got a handle on it? God. When you go through the day, pray to God. Prayer to God doesn't have to be something that you have to get down on both hands. And if you have time to get down on both hands and both knees, you have at her. I've sat right there in that pew and prayed. Nobody ever knew I'd done it. I've sat up here and prayed. Nobody ever knew I'd done it. I've been driving down the road and prayed. I have prayed in multiple places at multiple times. And no one had a clue that I was doing anything except me and God. It says that God knows the thoughts of your heart, the thoughts of your mind. If I can think it, God knows it. I can pray anytime, anywhere to God. And I have been known to pray to God anywhere, anytime. If you need Him, He's there to listen. Don't just take your requests to God. Tell Him thank you. You told your mom and dad thank you, didn't you? You tell your friends thank you, don't you? Well, if you're grateful, shouldn't you tell God thank you? It's His that supplies everything. Beloved, that really is what I had for this afternoon. I just wanted to go through that model, and I wanted to touch on it, and I hope that that gives you some encouragement or gives you something to think on and work off of. I'm going to do something. We're going to call out school early. Look at that. Brother Dale, come, brother.